Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Hello, Chicago!
Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
We're all very different people. We're not Watusi. We're not Spartans. We're Americans with a capital A, huh?
WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuras.
Good morning.
Until noon today, I'm in red, white, and blue. It takes a real man to pull off red pants.
You look like a Ken doll. But you look lovely. Very festive.
What do you mean I look like a Ken doll?
Well, you know, you've got the simple red pants on and then a nice button-up shirt. Like a Ken doll. They're always dressed perfectly. Everything hits in the right spot.
I feel like every holiday here at WGN, the three Bradley graduates on the staff.
We must work together.
Yes, this is good. We've taken pictures and sent it to the alumni newsletter.
We still haven't gotten in there.
The three Bradleys and the one Ball Stater.
No.
Oh, I love Ball Stater.
And U of I.
Oh, U of I.
Okay.
Hi, Mayor.
Hi.
Long time no see.
I like your pants. See, nobody was home to dress you, that's why.
This is true.
What does that mean?
Or stop you from going out of the house.
Come on. I'm all about fashion, guys. I really am.
He does do a lot of shopping. I will say that I'm really appreciating that everywhere today, I see somebody is wearing red, white, and blue. Mary's wearing red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. There's T-shirts on. It's Independence Day. Everyone's festive.
Things changed. When was that? When did things change around? Was it after 9/11 that people take more pride in holidays like this, the 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day?
It might have been.
Because I felt like it went to the wayside, and then 9/11 hit, and we all came together. And I know we're separated as a nation politically, but we come together on days like this.
I think it started to happen more and more after the divisions of Vietnam kind of went away. If you remember, you know, during the war and just after the war,
right.
There was some real contempt for
oh,
people
sure.
that went there.
Right.
You know, because of the divisions against the war. But all of that has gone away. I'll never forget covering a parade in 1991 on Michigan Avenue here. It was a welcome home, like a belated welcome home parade
for
Vietnam veterans.
Wow.
And it was just very emotional and amazing. And, you know, all of that kind of went away. And we started paying more and more attention to what Memorial Day was all about.
Right, yeah.
Paying more and more attention to what the 4th of July is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of built.
I just got the chills from your story. What I love about being a proud American is celebrating our country, but also on days like today, when you talk about stories like that, you play the national anthem, like every stand up, you know, when they're raising the flag. I do. I stand up in my living room. I don't care what's going on. I'm standing up. But it always gives me the chills because I'm so proud to be an American.
Was it Memorial Day we had that woman in that sang the
yes.
national anthem?
Yeah.
Jane found a woman in Chicago.
Kate. She's a lawyer.
She's an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the story.
So she is an attorney, and one of her gifts is being able to sing. And so when the judge swears in new citizens, he calls Kate and says, "Hey, Kate, can you come down and sing the national anthem for our newly sworn in U.S. citizens?" And she's like, "I'll be right down." So she does it, what did she say, once a week, twice a week?
Right.
That often?
There's different judges that like it and some others that don't. But one of the judges calls her in and she sings the national anthem. And everybody in the room has a piece of paper and they're singing along with her.
Oh, how
and
great.
And they're crying in front of her.
Sure.
Yeah, because they're so happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she starts crying, but she has to finish the song. Yeah. That's good stuff.
It's a great story.
Wow, I feel so proud right now to be an American, you know?
Talk to those people that become citizens and see how proud they are.
Absolutely.
And all that we take for granted will go away quite quickly.
Well, we have days like this. Yeah. You know, it's the nation's birthday today. How old are we? Is anybody
249 forever?
242.
Yeah. Those are good numbers right there. 242 years old. It reminds us. And, you know, we need days like this. Absolutely.
Yep.
We're going to have Eddie Johnson on today. And, Schwanee, I'm sure you've been covering this in the news. Father Flager is going to shut down the Dan Ryan on Saturday.
Right. As a matter of fact, he and Reverend Jesse Jackson tore up some orders that they received from Illinois State Police
saying,
we're going to go ahead with this as planned. As Father Flager said, we're kind of, in his own words, more or less, kind of take it up a notch and get people's attention.
So they're going to take the protesters and they're going to close down the Dan Ryan
for 10 blocks. Yes.
79th Street.
The 67th.
Yeah.
How about safety concerns? People that are coming in from out of town that aren't really paying attention.
That's one of the biggest concerns that the officers have.
And so, the holiday week continues.
Right.
A lot of people in town.
Luckily, the White Sox are out of town.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah.
But I think if there's no way to stop the protest and there's no way to stop the demonstration, then the state police, because you want to avoid accidents, is then you're going to have to block it off a mile away. You know what I mean? Just so that people that aren't aware of this happening don't come barreling through, not knowing that it's happening. Yeah. So they have to take a lot of precautions.
You know, how are you going to block off entrance ramps and exit ramps to close that section?
It's a huge expense.
The director of the Illinois State Police, Leo Schmitz, said last night on the news, and it was a press conference yesterday, he's like, we don't want to arrest people.
No.
But if you're blocking traffic on a major highway, we're going to have to. We just don't want to do it.
And where speeds of 70 miles an hour are not uncommon.
God, yeah, I don't know if I'd do that protest. I mean, I'm against gun violence, but I'm not going to walk on the Dan Ryan because I'm afraid for my safety. You have to think about that. That's crazy. So we'll talk to Eddie Johnson today at 11:05. He's a little busy. And we're going to talk barbecue. ConAgra, the corporate chef, Kat DiOrio, you may know her from Check Please, will be in studio. She's coming in at 9:35. We're going to talk barbecue.
Yeah, grilling.
It's going to be so hot today. And I promised my wife, I'm like, we'll barbecue on the 4th.
No, fine. You'll barbecue.
I know I'll barbecue. But I sweat like a pig anyway.
It was so hot Sunday when I tried to barbecue, I didn't have to light the charcoal. It lit itself.
It's ridiculous. And remember back in the day, on days like this, someone would crack an egg and, you know, they would say, I cooked an egg on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Here's what I really don't like. Because I refrain from using the word hate, but here's what I really don't like. When it's wintertime, it's so cold. I hate it. It's so cold. Now it's summertime. It's so hot. I mean, you got to pick one or the other.
I've told myself, don't complain when it gets too hot because it will soon be cold.
Yes.
Well, can't we just have a normal like 75-degree sunny day?
Yes.
Where's fall and spring? There isn't one.
Tuesday was probably the pick day of the week, right? Sunny and 85, not too much humidity.
Tuesday was the day.
Not too windy.
Friday's going to be nice.
What's Friday?
I don't know what it is, a little cooler.
A little cooler. Okay. Things will start to cool off tomorrow night. And so, yeah, Friday could be
I feel like you're doing the newscast again. You see, you just kind of jumped in that news voice.
I'm
going to
enjoy every minute of hot that we have.
What are you doing today?
I'm going to Michigan.
Oh, that's right.
Finish the show. I think I'm going to jump on a boat and watch the fireworks.
I don't know whose boat
I'm jumping on, but it'll be somebody's boat.
Here's what I don't get about
Michigan.
New Buffalo. And I know tons of people from Chicago go up there. We have friends that have houses, but you can't swim in Lake Michigan because it's 30 degrees.
Oh, though they get in anyway. I don't
get in.
It's
so cold.
Again, I'm the one that's complaining about the cold.
I swam up there 4 years ago. It was perfect.
Did you wear a Speedo? A Schwanee Speedo?
And I would have been arrested.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also our text line. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in until noon today at 720. Hold on a second. Hold on. Here it is. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. I had a moment last night, Andy, where I was thinking about you. It was 11:45 at night.
Okay, I was still up.
And the M80s were going off in my neighborhood.
Yep, that's why I was still up.
Andy was talking about how people in his neighborhood were lighting off M80s and bottle rockets.
Since Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since Saturday. And he was thinking about calling someone. I'm like, don't be that.
No, I wasn't.
And then last night it happened to me. I'm thinking, okay, it's 11:45. When's this going to dial down?
Get off my lawn.
But the 4th of July, it starts like 4 days before and it'll go until Saturday this week.
Because it ends up being on a Wednesday. But yeah, people were blowing off M80s last weekend, last night. But I'm happy to hear that it's just not my neighborhood. It's Andy's neighborhood.
It's everywhere.
It's Pete's neighborhood. Yeah, it's everywhere. And by the way, I can sleep right through it.
Well, if I was asleep, I would be continuing to sleep. But as I was trying to get to sleep again last night, that was going on.
I usually can sleep through it, but it was pretty loud last night.
What about Wrigley?
Wrigley's fine.
He doesn't
scare
him?
No, not at all.
Hmm.
He's like, okay. All dogs want to do is nap. They just want to sleep.
Dog's life.
Once they get used to that big boom, they're like, all right, I'll just go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But fireworks not only will happen tonight, but all the M80s will continue through the weekend. So this is just the longest 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I know. Saturday
I don't understand the M80. You know my buddy Peoria Joe.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, $600-$700 worth of fireworks. This is his Super Bowl today.
Just hold on to him and let him go? Did you run away? It scares me.
Well, we talked about this yesterday during the show. They have the, what are they called, the QR codes?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can scan them and it'll tell you exactly what they do. It'll show you a video in the store before you buy it. I mean, that's how much we've progressed with fireworks.
I feel like people that buy all those big fireworks sort of kind of know what they're doing. Or they've been around it before.
No, they don't.
That New York defensive lineman, New York Giant, giant, he blew off his fingers.
Pierre Paul.
Yeah. A few years ago.
You don't
think
he's ever played around the fireworks and that was just an accident?
I don't know.
I don't know.
People just don't get it.
I'm not going to go buy an M80 or any firework. I'm afraid of a sparkler, so.
How about those little snake things on the sidewalk? I never understood those.
I don't. They're so. What's the attraction?
They're super fun for little kids.
Okay, well, for little kids, yeah.
Shawnee, you do fireworks?
Not anymore, but when I was a kid, we would have the snake things,
right.
But also the ones that were really cool, and if you weren't careful, you could really get hurt with them, and thankfully no one did. They were called Whistling Jupiter rockets.
They
were about 3 inches tall with a short fuse. That was only one of the dangers, but when those things took off, they took off, and if you were in the way, you could.
Did it go straight up, or they were supposed to, and they went everywhere, right?
But they're like sort of, they're still a firecracker, but they're a little more on the tame side.
Yeah, it was a rocket, and if it hit someone, you could be seriously injured, and they'd just go.
Oh, I do remember those things.
Well, that was a great impression. Can you do it again?
God, that's good. Wow, it sounded just like it. Andy?
So in San Diego, when I was working some baseball there, you know, they have different hitting groups during batting practice. Usually lasts about a half an hour, and then they change groups. Someone will yell, you know, change them up, and then the second group comes in, and, you know, first group goes back and plays in the outfield. Well, a player that shall not be named decided that he was going to take it upon himself to make the switch well known and shot a Roman candle from the dugout into the bullpen.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
As everybody's looking skyward, he goes, all right, time to change him up. Matter of fact,
I don't get that.
Oh, it was crazy.
Everybody was safe.
Oh, everybody was safe. Yeah, he's just a little bit crazy.
How would you do that?
Because he could.
The bottle rockets, okay, I get. But the Roman candles, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get those either.
Why you're shooting those things. 312-981-7200. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris at 720 WGN. I had a great sleep last night, by the way.
Did you? Why? I had a little rough bit of a sleep.
I woke up at my family's out of town.
Oh, that's
what. It's just, you know, it's just calming where you don't have to wake up to a list from your wife. Okay. But I woke up at 2 in the morning. My dog, we have a king-size bed. My dog laying on my leg. It's like, Wrigley, can you move over? Just kind of back it off.
It's a king-size bed, Wrigley.
Yeah.
Understand where your place is.
Get it over there. What are you doing here? Are you doing a video?
I was doing a little Instagram video of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's nice. I like to document my time.
We were talking about fireworks. I can't think of it right now. Bottle rockets. Thank you.
Sorry,
I lost my memory. The bottle rocket contest. Did you guys have those where you used to have?
Nope.
Nobody did that?
You know, maybe the neighbor kids did.
Maybe that was a Peoria thing.
Oh, my brothers did that.
Okay.
What is it?
I don't know what the contest. They just shot off
bottle rockets at each other, and if you get hit, you're out.
Doesn't it hurt? It's kind of like jarts.
You're definitely out.
It's like jarts.
It's a firecracker. It's a firecracker on a stick that flies. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. That's all it hits you. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Did anybody shoot their eye out?
Yeah.
Do they what?
They shoot their eye out.
The bottle rockets? No, they don't.
Well, is a bottle rocket because you have to put it in like an old bottle and then it shoots out of the bottle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You put the wick outside the bottle and you light it and it shoots up. Dave, what's it sound like?
Perfect. And the dogs would go nuts.
That's the greatest thing
high
ever.
Pitch. Oh, that high pitch.
Mary, do you have a dog?
No, but I grew up with dogs.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I have two grand dogs. Yes.
I know dogs freak out during the 4th of July, but my dog, it's absolutely fine. Yeah.
Maybe he's deaf.
Wait a second. No wonder he doesn't listen to me. That's crazy. All right, coming up, we're going to have ConAgra's corporate chef in studio. We're going to talk a little barbecuing. Do you guys barbecue vegetables on the grill?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you do that? You put them in foil or you put them right on the grill?
I have a basket that I found. It's a metal basket, you know, that's perforated, that has a hole so the heat goes through.
Where do I get one of those?
That's a great idea.
They've got them at Target. That's where I got mine.
Really?
You know what's fantastic to put on the grill? Lettuce.
Yes.
Cut it out.
Yes.
What?
Stop it.
Oh.
Like you take, no way. Take the whole
main
head.
Heart.
All head of
lettuce? Yes, sir.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You put the whole.
That charred flavor with the fresh lettuce. It's great.
Thank you, Dave.
Are you laying it right on the grill?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And you get the little grill marks. Then you put some great ranch dressing or
ranch
Caesar
dressing
on the top.
Or Caesar or blue cheese dressing.
What? Little S&P.
And it's not so burning?
Delicious. You think, oh boy, that's going to be disgusting, but it's so delicious.
It really is.
Yeah.
So you put it directly on the fire?
Yeah.
Very quickly,
I mean,
and then you
put
pull
it
off.
Side.
But yeah, so it's that it's heated, and as Jane said, it's you know, you get the grill marks, the char marks.
And you put it on the burgers.
How do you keep it from rolling off?
Oh, you slice the romaine.
Oh, you slice it
in half.
You make sure the grill is level.
I thought you just dumped the whole head out there.
So you're using it for burgers, right?
No, it's like a side. It's like your salad.
Lettuce, stop.
So you're making a small little salad with burnt lettuce?
So delicious. So you don't like the long green stalks, right? So
yeah.
That's the
right, the romaine heart.
Romaine
heart. So you take that, you cut the bottom off, and you put it on. You need to cut the bottom off so it stays together, Mary. Thank you. And you put that right on the grill it, and then when you take it off, you cut the bottom off, and then you serve it with a little dressing, and everyone gets their own romaine heart.
God, I'm gonna try that tonight.
Tomatoes with it?
Yeah, I love the cherry tomatoes.
And you think, oh, that's way too much for me to eat. I can't eat all of that burnt lettuce. And it's so delicious that you want another stalk.
It really is. Yeah.
And it goes, I mean, listen, I'm not saying just eat the lettuce. Have a burger and everything else that you're going to cook, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I love to eat. So I encourage everyone to eat everything anywhere.
So the lettuce. I'm going to write.
Eat lettuce.
I'm going to write
eat
of this down.
Your place for burnt lettuce.
Plus it's cheap.
Why do they call it hearts of romaine? It doesn't look like a heart.
No, I know.
Why is that?
Mary?
I am not a foodie. Do not ask me.
Oh, I thought Mary
you should
would know
that.
That.
You do the TV show.
There are artichoke hearts. Maybe it's the center or the heart of the plant.
They it's have, romaine
have artichoke
lettuce.
Artichoke hearts.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
I love the artichoke heart. Put that on burgers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I throw that on the grill in that little basket that I'm going to buy from Target later today?
You're going to do that, right? It's at noon? It'd be 12:05 pizza Target buying a basket.
I can get in and out of Target, in and out of Costco very, very quickly. Yes. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until noon today. We'd like to welcome in the corporate chef for ConAgra Brands. It's our good friend, Kat DiOrio. It's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You look fantastic.
So
I want you to wear the chef's coat and the checkered pants. Just
I will
once.
Do it next time.
Do
just
you
for
wear
you.
That? Do you wear a chef's coat?
You know, not really. I mean, I usually wear like a t-shirt or, when I'm cooking, jeans, when I'm actually doing recipe development.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I was in a kitchen, yes. If I do events, yes, I'll wear it. But
well, recently I was at a restaurant and the chef was wearing the same chef's coat as the servers and the anyone that was working. And the whole consensus was it's not cool to wear a chef's coat anymore. And I said, no way, no how. If you're working in a restaurant, you're the chef.
Yeah, people want to see the chef's coat.
Yeah. Right. So if you were in the restaurant, would you wear the chef's coat?
Yeah, definitely. I think
maybe like red.
And now
or pink.
They're very cool. You
right.
know, I actually did get a new one and it's denim and it has like raw edges on it.
Oh,
so
cool.
I thought, all right, yeah, I know.
They're
like,
hipping up the chef's coats
they
now?
They are.
Is
well,
it
you
still
know, all
white?
These hipsters are out there cooking. So.
Yeah, the cool people. Can, yeah. So, but it's, no, they make them in red, black.
Mm-hmm. In different cuts, and they have different collar styles. And, yeah, like when I first started out, I remember I used to wear chef coats all the time. And every time I did anything on TV, even radio, I would come in with my chef coat on. And, I mean, it was just so boxy and unflattering. I was like, well, I guess I can taste a lot because you wouldn't tell what happened to my body anyway.
It doesn't matter at this point. You just gave up. Where did the checkered pants come from for chefs?
Well, it's because that you can't see the stains as much on them, and that's why they do it.
Okay.
So,
that's great. I never knew that.
The checkered pants?
Yeah, I never knew why the checkered pants were for you, so you couldn't see.
And you're all about restaurants. You're in restaurants all the time.
I love a good restaurant, and I love a good fashionable chef's coat for sure. But I never knew that about the checkered pants. So thank you,
Kat. Explain ConAgra. A lot of people hear the name. It's like ConAgra. I know that from somewhere. They have thousands of brands.
And it's the thing. You know, it's interesting. They're. I always feel like they're like family brands. They're those heritage brands that you grew up with. So, you know, Ready Whip, Orville Redenbacher, Hebrew National, which today is a great day for both of those, obviously.
Yes.
It's grilling day, right? So, and you, Hunt's Tomatoes. I mean, it's all of these things. Pam, I feel like you can't go into anyone's kitchen
Goulden's
and not
mustard.
See that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so people don't necessarily know always that what ConAgra brands is, but they know the brands.
Right.
Once they see them. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Something that we've all used. They have a product that we've all used our whole entire life. Like Slim Jim, too, right?
Yep. Slim Jim. I mean, it's funny because, and every time you watch like a TV show, there's always something in the background, you know, because they're kind of these iconic American brands.
Sure.
Ready Whip.
Are they based out of here in Chicago, the home base here?
They are,
okay, in the Merchandise Mart.
Exactly. Yeah, their offices are beautiful.
Got it.
Yeah. Now you can probably see them from here.
Oh, Merchandise Mart. It's what, five city blocks? Has its own zip code.
Yep.
Yeah.
And their office takes up like a half of it, right?
it's like one whole floor.
It feels so huge over there. I love that we have a big company like that in Chicago. We have a lot of those companies here. We have more coming in. But it's exciting because ConAgra is a big player.
Yep.
Worldwide.
And even bigger now because they just acquired
Birdseye.
Pinnacle, owns Birdseye.
And your vegetables that you see in the frozen food section. I'm like, wow. Yep. This is great.
So does that give you more opportunity when you do your research and development for ConAgra and you're using their products now that they have new products coming in? Does that make your eyes like kind of sparkle? Like, oh, good. Now I can use peas.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Yes, because my mom said, always eat your veggies.
It's a big day.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think any time someone gives me kind of something new to play with and to be creative with and say, hey, kind of let's do something. Like, how can we make this modern? Because I think that's always the big thing when you deal with any kind of food brand where it's kind of a prepackaged consumer, like a consumer packaged goods brand is, well, how do you make this modern? Especially when they've been around for so long, because people kind of get in their rut. Like, I only use this, like this way. And so it's kind of like,
they don't
well, how can we show them like this, like something else that's on trend, you know?
Did you grow up around food? Because I grew up, my mother was always cooking. Our house always smelled like chopped fried onions. All the time. If I go back to my mother's house, she's probably cooking as we speak.
Right.
And you know,
you're Greek, is that right?
Lebanese.
So, oh, okay.
You know, I grew up with this traditional Lebanese food, and she made Italian food. She's a wonderful cook, but she would see something on TV, and especially nowadays. She got Better Homes and Gardens back in the day, and she'd read a recipe, and she would try it. And she would make it, and we'd be the test dummies to try it out until she got it right.
That's not a bad job for you.
So who were you around growing up? Were you around food?
Yeah, I was. So I always said there's two women in my life that I credit with it. My Nana Kay, who was, she's no longer with us, but about this tall, you know, so like literally like 4 feet tall.
Feet.
She had to get like on a step stool to get like, because I think like her gravy pot was as big as she was, you know? And so I cooked with her all the time. I mean, I would go and spend like, I would pack up a little suitcase, even though she lived like four blocks away. So Italian, like we all live within like, you know, like a one or two block radius. Mm-hmm. I'd like pack up my little suitcase and tell my parents, like, I'm going to Nana Kay's for the weekend. And then we would just cook all weekend. And it was just really fun. We watched old Italian movies together. But then my mom, so my grandmother was more kind of that traditional Italian, you know, cook, home cook. And my mom, though, you know, had the two kids and she was a stay-at-home mom. And she was a really good cook. But she was like, what can I get made? Oh, gosh, I just picked the kids up from school. My husband's coming home in a couple hours.
Right.
So she was like, yeah, like she would like, you know, swing open the pantry and be like, boo, like she was like this alchemist, you know, just kind of like flying through the pantries. And all of a sudden she would make this like amazing dish. And I'd say, what's in that? She'd, oh, I don't know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like, you could never ask a recipe. And nothing ever kind of tasted the same thing, same way
and
twice.
She probably never made the same thing twice because she was just opening up the pantry and making.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who was your influence? Was it your mother, Barbara? Because you're one of the best cooks I've ever met.
Well, so my Yaya, who was 4 feet tall, was over cooking like the Greek food. So I would say my whole family, actually both my mom and dad. My dad owned a diner.
Big Lou.
He was really...
Greek owning a diner? That's shocking.
Can you believe it? So yep. He cooked dinner every single night. And so dad was a big influence on cooking. But mom was also a really great chef. And you were talking, Pete, about Betty Ann, your mom, pulling out the recipes from the newspaper for Better Homes and Gardens. My mom would cut the recipes out of the Tribune and make those. I still, and don't call me a hoarder because I save everything, but I still have all of
she's
her.
A hoarder.
I do,
she
too.
I still have all of her recipes that she's cut out of these magazines and newspapers with her notes on the side. She would write, BJM made this on, you know, whatever date.
Oh, well, you got to keep
so
that
good.
Stuff. Yes.
But she would add her little tips and tricks in there. But my whole family, like both sides, really, really, really great cooks.
Well,
no one's a chef. Everyone's a cook.
I think sometimes cooks are like, there's like a love and a passion. It's a different style of cooking.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like formally trained, I still always kind of say like, I feel like I'm a home cook who was formally trained.
And if you grew up in that type of environment, it becomes a family event. Like, yes. I know the Greeks call it baklava, but we call it butlewa. But they make, my sisters go back to Peoria and they're at my mom's house and they make the dough and they lay it over the pillow in the living room.
Right.
It's the weirdest thing, but it becomes a family event and it's fun for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My cousins and I, he was just emailing me about this. We decided, you know, so we do the Feast of the Fishes on, the 24th of December. And we decided we were going to make this traditional eel stew. And it was, talk about a family affair. I mean, we're like killing this thing with like a frying pan. And it's like, I know.
Wow.
And like, we're at my cousin's house and her daughter had like, you know, because you get the eel and they're alive. And so they're in the water and she's naming them. I was like, don't get too attached to those guys.
Oh, no.
So you got to kill the eel and then cut off the head.
I mean, and you have to skin it, which is the hardest part.
I have a visual of this eel flopping around and you and your family just going at it with a pan on top.
Little
Nana can't even reach over the top of the countertop.
That is so funny. Kat DiOrio in studio, the corporate chef for ConAgra Brands. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk actual cooking. And Jane just brought up the fact that she makes lettuce on the grill. I've never heard of that before.
We're going to talk about it because
I
want you to tell them how great, and maybe tell them how to do it since I don't know.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
Kat Calls on Twitter, Kat DiOrio on Instagram.
With a C.
Yeah, with a C.
C with the cat. Okay.
Exactly.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us, the corporate chef for ConAgra Brands. It's Kat DiOrio, and we're going to talk barbecuing. Jane brought up earlier that she barbecues lettuce, which I think is the craziest thing, but you say it's delicious.
It is delicious. Like, the first time I ever saw anyone do it, I'm like, that can't be good. It's so good that now it's a staple when we're grilling out. But it's romaine lettuce.
What would you compare it to? I mean, it burnt lettuce is horrible.
It's not burnt. And you would think warm lettuce would be horrible, but it's really delicious. Let's let Kat tell us why.
No, it is. Well, I mean, actually, even like traditionally in Italian food, like a lot of people, they grill radicchio. So the bitter green, which is like a type of lettuce. And so you'll grill that. And you can just kind of drizzle over like a bagnacotta or something, like a garlic and anchovy sauce or a lemon vinaigrette over it, which is really delicious. So it's actually more traditional than you think. And then romaine lettuce, it's kind of, I guess, kind of almost an American version of it. And
it's easier to get.
And it's much easier to get. And it's kind of easier to grill just in general because the hearts are larger and you can just slice them right in half and then just pour a little bit of olive oil on them. You can season them and then just throw them on the grill and then dress them with, again, I think like a nice lemon, especially in the summer, a lemon vinaigrette. So it's like really bright.
The lemon vinaigrette during the summertime, I don't know. It just tastes so good, doesn't it?
I think we're all Mediterranean, so we're just like lemons.
You never have enough lemons.
You can never have enough lemons.
Never.
But when you put the lettuce on the grill, you put it on the lesser hot side of the
coals. Yeah, you do indirect heat on it.
Yeah, and then it's not hot, but it's something about the flavoring to it is what makes it so special.
Well, you'll get like maybe a little char, if a little bit, you know, and again, it's just that flavor, that smoky kind of grilled flavor that you get with it. So it just adds like a little bit of depth to something that in reality doesn't have all that much flavor. You know, it has more flavor than iceberg lettuce, but it's still kind of a mild lettuce. So I think I like it. And you can do, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of chefs you're seeing now too are doing, they're taking, just a mixed green. So even like a softer spring green, which, you know, is interesting because it doesn't have that sturdy construction.
Right.
Like romaine has.
You think it withholds on the grill.
Yeah. And so, but you can, I would suggest, so people do it all different ways. I would suggest just getting one of the grill pans that have the holes and then putting it in there. But then it gets,
I gotta go to Target
today.
Some
of the pieces are brown. Some right. of the pieces are not like quite cooked through. So it's this kind of mix of
textures. I never knew they had that little basket you could throw on the grill.
Yeah. He literally can't stop thinking about the basket. We have 3 hours left of show.
Dave Schwann told me about it.
Trying to find out where
he's
going to
get a basket. Where can I get it? Target. I'm like, I'm on it today. I love arugula.
Yes.
I love arugula. It tastes great in a salad. It tastes great on hamburgers. I mean, it's just fantastic.
I like it if you just put it raw on pizza.
Right, I love it on pizza, too.
It's really good.
I actually was at the grocery store the other day because I love the grocery store. I go once a day, just like my dad did, just to buy something. And they were out of arugula.
Okay, everybody wants it. Everybody is out of everything right now. Yeah,
that's true.
I have to go and get meat today. I forgot to get it. I know. Everything's going to be picked over. It's going to drive me. Yeah, my wife's not going to be happy.
Well, I brought you guys fixings for Chicago dogs.
Let's talk about that.
I want to ask you about grilling because the biggest mistake people make is overcooking their meat.
Yeah.
A meat thermometer. You can't say enough about that. You have to have one.
And if, you know, and guys, I know they love their gadgets. They now have the infrared ones. So it's like a laser beam. You like shoot at it. And then it tells you the temperature.
You can look at your phone. So you can leave the grill and you can be watching TV and you can look on your phone. Oh, the temperature's getting close. Right. And I have to pull off that brisket.
Can't you just decide if it's ready by pressing on the palm of your hand?
Yeah. You can. So it's like depending what temperature you want, like what, if you want it medium or I guess what temperature. Right. You know, so it depends where you press on your hand. So, but I feel like leave that to someone who's been cooking a long time.
Yeah, because you want to make sure it's the right temp. So
right, of course.
Because, like, who wants an overcooked steak?
How do you cook your steak?
You know, medium rare.
Medium rare.
Yeah.
It has the most flavor. A lot of people don't like that red. I
love it.
Me too.
Oh, I love medium rare.
It's just
medium rare.
I'm like an animal.
But so when you're talking about grill time, so because today people are going to be putting steaks and burgers and hot dogs and brats and chicken.
Right.
Is there... You know, chicken gets done faster than the burgers and the steaks. Is there an orchestrated way to put this all on the grill?
Well, you know, I think you have to look at, that's a hard question in terms of giving one quick answer to that. So it depends what
you're
cooking.
Well, the chicken is the most difficult out of everything.
Right. Well, and it depends if you're cooking bone-in versus boneless.
Oh.
So, you know, a bone-in is going to take, and it's going to take longer to cook.
Yeah.
So, you know, that you can actually cook over direct heat. But if you're doing boneless, it's going to cook a lot quicker. So you're going to do that over indirect heat because you don't want to dry it out and it's going to cook.
Exactly. So, indirect heat, you don't want to dry it out because that's the biggest mistake people make. This chicken breast tastes like a shoe.
Terrible. Well, this is my advice to
eating chicken breast for that reason.
Yes. Well, I remember I went to a dinner party. This is many, many years ago. So she's probably not listening and won't know I'm talking about her dinner party. And I remember, and I felt so bad because she was so excited and everything was great about the dinner party. But then she served grilled chicken. And I mean, it literally, I was like, if I took my shoe off and started eating it, I don't think it would have tasted much different.
Wow.
I mean, it was so tough. It was just so dried out. So ever since then, I actually became obsessed with what are some hacks for people who haven't cooked chicken before? Because it seems like a go-to, right? It's almost everyone eats chicken. It's
healthy.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's not too expensive. Yeah. You know, all these things. So doing a yogurt marinade, which is interesting because that's kind of a Lebanese thing. It's a Middle Eastern,
it is.
So, and that will help you. And I guess a little bit Greek too. And so you can flavor it all different ways. So if you did, just a Mediterranean spice blend, say with cumin and paprika and cayenne pepper, a little bit of garlic, some salt, pepper, and literally just take some Greek yogurt, throw it into a Ziploc bag and chop up a bunch of pieces of, I'd say, I usually like the thigh and I like the breast. So toss that in there. And then just let it marinate for 30 minutes, throw it on the grill, and
it'll stay moist.
So moist.
That's a great idea.
So moist.
That is a great idea.
I hope you were writing
this
down.
Foolproof.
Well, I have it in my head.
Okay.
And
you're going to do that today.
Then I'll text Kat and say, I forgot that recipe. Can you help me? That's my gift.
Perfect.
That's what I do.
So it's yogurt marinade, and then you put that in. I love this. It's great. And
that's
foolproof.
So easy.
It will stay juicy.
Practically foolproof.
Right.
And then the other, I think, tip is if you're going to cut it up into pieces, so you're going to make just some kebabs, basically, is making sure that your chicken is actually close together, not smushed together, but kind of definitely touching each other, because that will keep the moisture in as well.
Really?
Yeah, because then you don't have all the hot air and all this fire going in between
the
pieces. So they'll kind of keep their juices all together that way.
God,
you're good. You know, so it's like they're just like little things you don't think about. But, I mean, they're really easy to implement. You know, that's what I like. I like cooking tips where, you know, sometimes I listen to people.
Well, people are trying to eat healthy now with the chicken, and they don't know how to make chicken on the grill.
Well, you don't want it to taste like the bottom of your shoe.
Right.
But what I love about these tips, it's not they're not difficult to remember. Mm-hmm. You know, you gave me something simple later on when I'm grilling my chicken. I'm going to remember, you know, how to put those on the kebab.
And then put some tzatziki with it.
Right.
And hands down.
What about turkey burgers to make them moist? We put egg whites in there. Some people put oil because that's another thing that dries out on the grill.
So I think, or mixing in even vegetables with some that have some moisture content, because it's about, I think, adding just some extra moisture content. So whether it be some extra onions or even adding some peppers
like,
to
You didn't
it.
Like the egg white thing. No. You kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? What's wrong with egg whites?
No. I mean, I put the whole egg in when I'm making a burger.
Of course you do.
He's a problem with, he doesn't like the whole egg ever, whether it's boiled
or. But it's healthy.
Or, yeah, he's his Pete.
The yellow
the egg
yolk.
Is the perfect.
It bums me out.
He throws away the inside, the yolk, for a hard-boiled egg. He'll just eat the white.
I hate the yolk.
What's the point?
I love the fried egg. I love dipping my toast in the fried egg.
Okay.
But when I eat a hard-boiled egg, that yolk just bums me out.
And is it because they're overcooked? Because I feel like that's another thing people overcook all the time. And then it has those like, creepy green lines from the sulfur. And you're like,
whoa.
I want to eat that.
And you brought us hot dogs today?
I brought you Chicago dogs.
Okay.
Because I figured this is like a very American holiday.
Yes.
Right?
No ketchup.
No ketchup. There's
no ketchup.
There is not any ketchup with me.
Thank you
very much.
I have some in my purse, by the way.
Not for these dogs.
Jane, what is wrong with you? If you want to check out all the ConAgra brands, you can go to conagrabrands.com to check everything out. And we have to thank John Harris, who's a mutual friend of all of ours.
Love John.
John does so much for this city, and he hosts so many charity events. He's just, he's a gem here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm, he sure is.
I think he's like cloned himself, because I feel like,
he's
how
everywhere.
Does he get everywhere?
And we have to thank Lainey, too, who set it up for you.
Yes.
And where can people follow you on Twitter?
So, at Cat Calls.
Cat calls.
Like a cat.
C-A-T.
C-A-L-L-S.
C-A-L-L-S.
Okay.
And Cat DiOrio on Instagram.
Got it. Cat DiOrio. Thanks for coming in.
I could sit here and talk to you all day.
I know. You're the best. You're a great
guest. I forgot that we're on the radio. I feel like we're just having a conversation.
Well, we're going out afterwards.
Yeah.
We'll go to Cat's house. She can cook for us.
I brought drinks, too.
720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Happy 4th of July, everybody. We just got done talking barbecue with Cat DiOrio, the corporate chef at ConAgra. And now we're going to talk booze.
You need something to wash all of that food down with. And we've got the perfect guests here to tell us what it is.
So you were in Michigan, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
You got back from Michigan and you called me and you said, Pete, we need to get somebody on the air and talk about this cider.
I love cider.
Jane doesn't drink beer.
I don't drink beer because I'm allergic to beer. I love beer, right? And I found myself at Bell's Brewery in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and it's beer. And so I'm sitting there, and I always feel really awkward when somebody's bringing out beer because I hate to say no, but I know I'm going to have a headache, and it's not going to be good. So they brought me a cider, and I said, well, what is this? And then Kurt, who's my boyfriend, said, Jane, this is hard cider, and this is what it is. And
This is what men drink.
I said, well, I thought that hard cider was beer. And he's like, no, it's not beer. So it turns out, I'm a huge fan of hard cider.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since that trip to Kalamazoo, now I go to the store and I find all this different kind of cider. And I said, Pete, do you know what cider is? He goes, no, never heard of it.
So here we are. We have our guests in studio with us from Aris Brewery and Cider House. Excuse me. It's Katie and Michelle. You are the owners, right?
Correct. Yes. Yep.
And you brought the brewmaster, Haley.
Well, the brewmaster that had the best qualifications in the city of Chicago. So, yes, that's why we brought Haley in.
I love this. And a male chauvinist pig would say, two women running a cider house and brewery? What's going on here? How do you get into this? How'd you get into it?
Weird matchmaking. So my husband for years was trying to poach Michelle to work with some of his clients, and she wouldn't budge. She's, you know, everything. She'd been there. She'd done that. She'd bought the T-shirt. He's like, you know, what would it take? What would it take for you to, you know, to want to, you know, try something new? And she's like, you know, I'd like to do cider and beer.
Yeah, I was a big fan of cider. I used to work for a company out in Michigan also that makes cider.
Okay.
And I've been in the beer world for about 15, 20 years, starting out at Goose and Revolution and different things like that.
So you've been in the business.
I have been. I have been in the business in operations for sure.
But cider came, so like in 20 years ago when I was like running around drinking a lot of beer, I was, when I found out I was allergic to it, we weren't really selling cider. It wasn't an option. It was big in like in Ireland. It was big in England. And so it was like something that I sort of missed when it was became popular in the U.S. because I thought it comes in the same bottle as a beer. It looks like a beer. It's, you know, it's fuzzy like a beer. And so I'm like, thought it was beer, but I missed that whole trend. When did that become popular here?
I would say about 10 years ago. Yeah. I mean, there are some companies that have been around for 20.
Yeah.
So you've got California companies, Oregon companies that have been around for a while. But the trend just didn't start happening until craft beer, you know, and craft beer has been around 25 years.
Huge.
So about 10 years ago, a bigger push on craft beverages in general. And then, you know, with the idea of gluten-free a little bit of celiac, and then also the idea that we want something more pure. And, you know, cider and Haley.
Well, explain the difference between the two.
Oh, I think I'm going to let Haley do that. I'm going to let Haley do that.
Haley, what's the diff?
Well, cider's a wine.
Okay.
So it's just made from apples.
That's it?
Pretty much.
And beer, hops?
Well, barley, I would say. Okay. It's the base of beer. And the processing is a little more involved when you're trying to change barley into a liquid.
So are you a brewmaster?
Yes.
How do you get into that?
I started homebrewing in college.
God, I've heard that from so many people that have come up and started their own beers and craft beers. They just started doing it in college, and they liked their brew, and they're like, And their friends came over. Is that how it happened?
Something like that, yeah. I'm a longtime professional brewer and new to cider making.
So you're new to cider. I was going to ask you, if you're making beer and they're so different to make, how does the cider come in?
Well, there are a lot of similarities. It's also a fermented product. So with cider, you're just fermenting the apple juice. It's very pretty.
How long does it take? How long is the process?
Well, it depends on how fast you move, right? But for the yeast, I guess, how fast the yeast
moves. You just taking your time. Yes.
It's all sure.
Yeah, everything's cool.
You know, a few weeks, you can ferment the juice. And then really, with the cider, it's the art of blending becomes really important. So
okay.
That's something that requires a little finesse.
So, Katie, you got this ball rolling with everybody. Is that true?
I kind of came, like, when it came time to put pen to paper.
Okay.
You know, when it came time to pull the ideas out, put it into a package that investors could get behind, that we could speak to lenders about and present in that manner. So, Michelle and also my husband is probably, like, two of the most ambitious people that I know.
Really?
You know, and so I'm the fear, like the risk averse. Like,
well, you always need that person
like,
that has to, you know,
kind of like,
saying, well, what if this happens?
Check, checks and balances.
Details. Yeah,
right.
Just get everything in order, you know. And
so your husband and Michelle are the broad strokes, and you're all the details.
Right.
That's how it works. That's a perfect partnership.
And the husband,
it really is.
He's not here because it's this female power couple here.
We're female owned. So her husband is our consultant, but we're female owned.
When I knew that you guys were coming in, so not only we talk about cider, but then I looked, I go, oh my gosh, it's three chicks. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, these girls are so cool that you're running the brewery and cider house. I mean, this is just really great. So what I also love is that you're Chicago based.
And absolutely.
And that was something that you knew you wanted to go into this location.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Chicago was our home base, and that's where we're going to start. There isn't a cider house that is connected to a brewery in Chicago, nor is it a brew pub, so we serve food also.
Oh.
So it's like the whole kit and caboodle, which is kind of where the whole idea of chaos came around, you know, because
right.
We have this old Masonic building.
Yeah, tell people about that. How old is this building?
108 years old.
108 years old. That's where they are. Right on Irving Park,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just tell people to look for the pancake house. You know, we try to explain it. It was like, go to the Golden Nugget. They're like, I know the Golden Nugget. I know the Golden Nugget. Yeah.
Yes.
It's right there.
I've seen the Golden Nugget at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I think we have a building of that size, it's been around for so long that
right.
It just kind of blends into the background and people forget that it's there.
Well, it kind of adds to the mystique too. You know, our building's 100 years old and we have women that started this business and we have a woman that is our brewmaster. I mean, it's pretty cool. It really is.
I feel like, for, and not to get back to the whole cider beer thing, but for somebody, I like beer, I can't drink it. So for me, cider is a great option, even though it's not beer, right? Is it just the ingredients that make it different for somebody who may not be able to drink a beer? Because it's apples?
Well, it's a whole different product, and I feel like that's what really sets us apart. There's not a lot of people making cider in Chicago, especially not a lot of breweries doing it. So the cider's been really well received, and people are really excited about it.
Is cider like beer and wine, where you pair it with different types of foods?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, great, because we're going to talk about that. That's a little teaser right there. I'm going to take a quick break. Where can people find you?
4240 West Irving Park Road.
And how about online?
ArisChicago.com.
Eris, E-R-I-S.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Yes. And Facebook is actually, we do a lot on Facebook. So.
Okay.
E-R-I-S, Chicago.
E-R-I-S,
our website's
Chicago.
Coming soon.
All right.
This is great. Exciting.
I like the wink. Yeah. That's nice. Thank you, Michelle. Let me take a quick break and we'll test out the cider.
Tell people she yes. winked at you.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. In studio with us from Aris Brewery and Cider House, it's Katie and Michelle, the co-owners, right?
Correct.
And we have Haley, who is the brewmaster.
And
we
were talking cider maker.
And cider maker. Thank you,
sir. Is
that
one of the same?
I feel like Haley's going to come over here and punch me in the neck at any second.
Haley's so chill.
Well, I just asked you off the air, you think cider, you think sugar right away, and I always like to watch my sugar content.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that because yes. I think a lot of people think that cider is very sweet, and that's not necessarily true.
Okay.
So there are dry ciders, there are sweet ciders, and everything in between. So it's really a balance of
good
the sugar
know.
And the acid and the alcohol.
Okay.
And you can craft a well-balanced beverage that is not sweet, and cider is not necessarily sweet.
And Katie, you're brand new. This is a brand new business. We didn't realize that.
Brand spanking new.
Good for you. How many months?
5 months.
That's why you don't have a website.
That's why you get the wink.
Wow.
It's a bit of a sore point, but yeah.
Okay. Well,
somebody's in charge. And
everybody's on Facebook anyway.
On
I think you go to Facebook right away and just look people up. Yes.
And if you type in Aris Brewery and Cider House, it just pops up in your Google and you're like, okay, let's go there.
Right. You can't taste anything on the website
Facebook.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Nice,
yeah.
Haley.
What are we going to test first? What are we going
to
taste?
By the way, I want everyone to know, ladies and everybody else, this is Pete's first time ever drinking a hard cider.
Deal.
I'm
and
so
Pete
excited.
Pete's a boozer. He'll drink everything.
I will.
So you're just turning him on to something else.
Yeah.
All right, please don't chug that.
Okay.
Just
I'm just
going to
sip.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay,
just,
so what are we drinking
what is
around
this?
Your mouth?
Tell Make us sure. about this. What is this?
I'm going to say it's Pedestrian, but I'm going to let Haley tell you about it.
Haley?
Pedestrian is our modern dry cider, blended for everybody.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's not sweet. I'm watching your reaction.
It is not sweet at all.
It's delicious.
That is our driest cider right now.
It's kind of
so
a combo
good.
Between wine and beer, I would say.
Well, the beer, how do you feel about the beer? Like, what are you saying when you say beer? It's a combo between wine and beer.
I love beer. I mean,
I know, but what do you...
Well, it's probably the carbonation and also like the lighter alcohol that make people think of beer, but really it's a wine. It's a lower alcohol apple wine. Carbonated.
Am I tasting like a little tang in there? Like a
that's the apple.
Mm-hmm. There is acidity. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like
wow,
so
that's really
for
good.
Somebody who I love beer but had to stop drinking it when I first started trying cider, it reminded me of beer, and it's probably the carbonation that was doing that. But yet, it was easier for me to drink, and it was lighter. So it's just a great alternative, I think, to drinking just a wine. And if you're not going to have a beer, I mean, isn't it delightful, Pete?
Fantastic. Very refreshing.
What did you get on the nose? Give it a smell again. Like, what do you smell off the nose? Do you smell the apples?
Yeah, I smell apples.
Oh, definitely so.
Ripe apples.
Right away.
Yeah. It's like, this one's supposed to be like biting into a Granny Smith apple, let's just hypothetically say, because
That's
people
it.
Know what that is.
That's it. You nailed it. I was thinking green, and I couldn't think of Granny Smith. You're right.
And I mean, it's not made out of Granny Smith at all in general, but that's the idea. And that's when you start talking about it. People are like, that's it. It's a tart apple.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yep. The tart apple. Okay.
Yeah. What I mean, it's so good.
What is the second one we're going to try?
Ooh, the Straw Barbarella. So it is made out of strawberries and rhubarb.
Wow.
So
no apples?
It
smells like a fruit salad.
Base, okay. It also is back sweetened with strawberry and rhubarb juice. So it's a cider, not a pie, but it's a bit sweeter than Pedestrian.
That's so great.
Wow, is that good?
That's flying
I mean,
off
that
the
is,
shelf.
That is refreshing.
But it kind
that
of
is summertime right there.
Reminds me of like a rosé. Is that bad to say? Because
nope.
it's, no? Okay, because it has that like lighter pink, the airier flavor. It's delicious.
Yeah, we have a one that we call the blush. And
is that the rosé?
That's kind of like the rosé because the rosé is a big category right now in cider. Everyone's buying rosé ciders, and they can be made out of cherries. They can be made out of some of them are grapes actually being used. And then I've even heard of rose hips and different things that people are using to make a rosé. But we decided to go with the blush because we thought, you know, hey, we're more blue collar, so might as well box it up and blush it out.
How many different flavors? You handed me a menu. How many different ciders do you have?
6 to 8 at a time right now.
Okay. How do you come up with new flavors? Is it just hit and miss? Okay, I'm going to try something new today.
Well, we definitely talk as a team about different things that might inspire us. I like to travel and go to other cideries and see. But also I get inspired from, you know, I like to cook. So just what flavors do I think would work well together and would be really nice in a cider. So
what is this strawberry thing? What is this
called? That's a strawberrella.
I mean, this is just summertime right
strawberry
here.
Strawberry rhubarb.
It's wonderful. Wow.
I mean, that's a classic pairing. The rhubarb adds a little bit of tartness to it as well.
What would you eat with this? What kind of food?
Beer.
I mean, off our menu, I would definitely go with the fruit field salad. We have a mango strawberry salad, you know, with greens, and it's got a nice, like, honey type of vinaigrette. Otherwise, you could even pair it with some different types of fish.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I think something heavy, like you could even eat that with a burger because it is so light and refreshing. If you're having something heavier, it kind of lightens up the load.
And the acidity cuts through.
Yeah.
Too. So it does work.
The burger is the best thing, though. You could have a beer with a burger, a cider with a burger, doesn't matter. I mean, that is such a heavy kind of like sandwich, but it's so good and tasty that any kind of beer or cider makes sense. So, yeah.
Well, for people that are listening and live in the suburbs and they always look for stuff to come downtown, especially during the summertime, tell me about your place on Irving Park. Can they come and visit? What's it like?
We're like a transportation trifecta. We have so many different ways to get here very easily. We're near the Metro stop. We're near the Blue Line stop. There's a Kennedy Irving Park exit. We're like 2 blocks west of there.
Right.
And we've got a small parking lot, too. So
that's great.
Irving Park.
God, it's all about parking for people in the burbs.
Yeah.
Where am I going to park? I don't know where I'm going to park if I come to the city. So what do they see when they come to this 108-year-old building?
Oh, it's stunning. The main dining room is 20-foot soaring ceilings.
So they can come in for tastings. Of course, they can buy things and take it home, but they can also eat.
Yes.
It's a full restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. Full experience. Well, are there plans to have some of these different ciders for sale in some grocery chains?
Eventually. Yeah. The plan is eventually to do kegging and possibly either bottling or canning. But because we're only 6 months old, it's kind of like, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. It's on there. We have a special events room that we need to remodel. And that'll hold about 200 people.
Oh,
so
wow.
So we'll be able
is
to do
fantastic?
Weddings and different festivals and things like that. And then, you know, way down the road, probably further down the road than we would wholesale, I would say there is going to be a possible rooftop. We have 5 stories on this building. It is gigantic. And so
everything's about rooftops nowadays.
I know, but the minute I say it, everyone thinks it's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
Well, I can't tell you. So is that roof open? I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. That was a 5-year plan.
Can we see it by next summer? I got a guy. He can help you out.
We'll have you back on. We'll talk about the rooftop. What I love is that you're taking cider to the next level and making it different flavors. Like there's one here. What's the coffee cider?
Oh, that was a very small experiment that we just made. Backlot Coffee is just right down the street from us. And so I made a cold brew of their Guatemalan roast and blended it in the cider. And it came out very well. I'm happy to...
Breakfast in a bottle.
Yeah, I can't wait to try other different roasts and make bigger batches of that. It was just a small experiment that went real well.
You're opening my eyes to this whole cider thing because I thought there was just one kind, like the first one I ever tried. But now I'm seeing this and I'm loving all of them. This is so exciting.
And tell me about the house cocktails that I'm looking at on the menu.
Now you're speaking Pete's language.
Our house cocktails are all cocktails that we made with either cider and then some of them are made with beer. So we really want to do a little diversity of the idea that cider and beer can be formed into cocktails with liquor and mezcal. And we have some nice gin.
Mezcal, chili salt in one of these.
And that's the Van Mojo blueberry simple syrup.
So you guys just sit around and say, okay, what kind of drink are we going to make today? What are we going to do?
I love how people think that, but yeah, go ahead and think that. That's fine. We just get drunk all day and coming up with weird ideas. Right.
There's a lot of sitting around. I see a think tank on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. All right, guys, let's come up with our new cider.
Just give me the coffee one for breakfast.
Wow. I mean, it's really great to meet you three.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Nice meeting you guys, too.
I mean, you're not too far from my house. I'm going to come by. I'm going to bring my family.
Awesome. Why haven't you been there yet?
I don't know. I didn't know about you until Jane brought it up last week.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, this is awesome.
It is a family-friendly establishment, too.
Yes.
Very good to note.
Kids menu, crayons, you know, kids can run around. It's great.
That's good stuff. Aris Brewery and Cider House, again, where can they find you on Facebook? Aris Chicago?
Aris Chicago
on
Facebook.
Which is E-R-I-S.
Yep.
Yes.
And then on Instagram, Aris Chicago on Instagram, and also on Twitter.
And Haley, what do you do today? You go to a barbecue and go to people's houses? I mean, if I had
a
brewmaster,
if I had a
cider master or a brewmaster come to my house, I'd be super nervous serving you stuff.
So I'm getting our chidar ready, which is our chai cider that we're going to tap tomorrow for our Throwback Thursday tapping.
Damn, you're
good. So I got to work on my chidar. And I'm also doing a kettle sour, so it's currently souring in the kettle.
That's
kettle sour is
so
a beer.
Fun.
Yeah,
it's kettle sour is a beer.
Yeah, sour beers are really popular. So it takes a while though for the lactobacillus to do its thing.
Thank you for coming in. And Katie, Michelle, great to meet you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.
Enjoy the cider.
Thanks.
It's 720 WGN. Happy 4th of July. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Taste of Chicago happens July 11th through the 15th. You can go to tasteofchicago.us. In studio with us is the spokesperson for Taste of Chicago. It's Mary May. It's great to see you again.
Well, thank you for having us.
Taste of Chicago is 4 days. Is that right?
No, it's 5 days.
5 days.
Yes.
I'm can't do the math in my head. And you brought someone here that I knew that I met years ago when I was doing TV.
Yes.
I remember doing a story, Jay from The Lobster.
Yeah, nice to see you again.
It's good to see you. I did the story, and I sent a text to my brother. I'll never forget this. I go, I just had the best lobster sandwich. I don't even know what it is. It's just unbelievable. You started out with food trucks, right?
We started with a spot in the Gold Coast, but then we did go to the food truck.
Okay.
And we got a few more locations in River North and Lakeview. But the food truck is definitely probably one of our most popular locations.
God, food trucks are so big in the city now, aren't they?
Yeah, we're loving it. It's a cool scene to be a part of here.
Right.
Is there like is it territorial? Like if you have a spot and some other food truck takes your spot, do you kind of give them the cross-eyed look like, that's my spot?
Not going to lie. I can get pretty dirty on the food truck street.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
So.
Like if it's like you don't really, it's not really your spot, but that's where you go every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's first come, first serve. So, you know, sometimes you got to get up a little early to find the right spot. And, you know, if someone else has it, it can be a little salty experience.
Do you go to different spots with the food truck on different days?
We do. We try to float around. We stay in the loop. Specifically, we like to be around Clark Monroe, or we like being over by the On building over here.
So how many food trucks, if you go down to Clark and Monroe on, let's say, a Tuesday at noon, how many do you see down there?
Probably about five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people can come from anywhere and just grab the food and buy it from a food truck.
Absolutely.
And there's a ton always at Chicago Avenue and Larrabee in that building. That's a big spot, too.
And we're also really big at Beyond Taste Chicago. Just every weekend we got a festival somewhere.
So, oh,
you bring the food truck.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of the suburbs love to have the Chicago trucks out there. We were in Glen Ellen last week. We'll be in Northbrook in a couple weeks. So
this is big business for you.
Yeah, we were really enjoying it.
So why'd you decide to, you open the place, Clark, what's the cross street on Clark? I can see it in my head.
Clark and Hubbard.
Clark and Hubbard. Okay, why'd you decide to open the place there?
We actually opened that one when we knew the Gold Coast, they tore that building down.
Okay.
So we were looking for another location that was in a prime spot right in the city, and Clark and Hubbard can't be much more prime than that.
Right.
Yeah. And tell me about the lobster. What do you call it? The lobster roll? The lobster sandwich? What is it?
Yeah, so we got our lobster roll. We do a traditional style where we just do some lettuce, mayo, butter, and the lobster meat right on our we have a New England bun that we have made here locally. And then we also do a Chicago version, which is a spicy one. We use a sriracha mayo, and we put those jarinara peppers on it, just like an Italian beef.
But this is one of the best sandwiches you'll ever eat. I'm serious.
And so tell me about the lobster. Like, does that come in and you chop it up? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so we have purveyors in Maine and sometimes in Boston. And, you know, they send it over and, you know, we portion it out. And the nice thing is they actually cook it out on the East Coast for us and send it to us. So when we open it, the last time it touched the air was the saltwater air in Maine or Boston.
Oh, wow. So, have you always been in food? How'd you get into this?
Yeah, kind of. I used to own a bar, and I wanted a little more, don't know, a different atmosphere. And this food truck kept pulling up by my bar. This was in Los Angeles. And they would have a line down the street selling lobster rolls, and there'd be two people on a truck. And I would be in a big bar restaurant with all these, you know, all this staff and people. And I thought, they have a better business model than me.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up on the East Coast.
Okay, so you grew up on the East Coast.
Loving lobster.
Yeah,
of course.
That's the connection right there. You went to LA.
I was born on a lobster boat, you know.
When did you get to Chicago?
6 years ago.
6 years ago. So yeah. I met you probably right when you just moved here.
Absolutely.
And what brought you here to do this business?
You know, Chicago is a foodie city, and I wanted to experience it. Also, just, you know, was looking for, you know, the Midwest hospitality. So
I like that. Yeah, we are a foodie city, aren't we?
We've
become very particular about food.
And this was a concept that I didn't see being done around the city. I mean, now you might see a lobster roll on menus here and there, but, you know, 5-6 years ago, you didn't see a lobster roll on too many menus.
Right.
You know, here, I think it's, you know, it's just become more of a regular thing around here that people understand.
How are you not 300 pounds owning this place and a food truck?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely love lobster, but I don't know.
Because he makes it all the time.
I don't know, Pete.
I don't have a straight answer on that one.
But your involvement.
I definitely fluctuate.
Okay.
Your involvement in the Taste of Chicago is that you're in the food truck area. Is that correct?
We are. This will be our third year. We're really excited. We always are amazed about, you know, how much the taste people seem to love us. We get really long lines. People seem excited.
You have good food, they're going to show up.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, and we do lobster mac and cheese as our taste portion.
Yeah, so tell me about
this. You can't really go wrong with lobster mac and cheese.
You brought it in today.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So it's our lobster mac and cheese. We make it in-house every day. And it's got we put a little spicy kick in it a few years ago, which I think really added a lot to it. And then we just take our lobster meat. You can see those big, succulent, juicy pieces right there. And just throw it
Can you give
it.
Jane some of that lobster mac and cheese?
Because you're
going to flip. You're going to flip.
I can't wait.
It's so good.
Before we went on the air, I said, oh my gosh, that's one of my favorite things on the planet. Pete said, save it. We'll talk about it later.
Mary May, Taste of Chicago.
Yes.
July 11th. How many restaurants, food trucks are we going to see there?
Well, this year we have 72 restaurants. 25 of them are brand new.
Wow.
So we are very excited about that. That's going to be, there's so much diverse cuisine here in Chicago,
right,
and represented by, you know, our veterans, you know, larger restaurants, and then, you know, the small neighborhood, you know, mom and pop restaurants. So.
Right. Well, this gives people I want to say venue, but they can come down and they can sample just about anything
everything.
In this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Chicago.
And, you know, you can come back each day because our pop-up program, you know, we have restaurants there that are just maybe there for a day or two.
Right.
And you come back the next day and there'll be a new restaurant. So there's always going to be something different. And
how does that work? Do they have a tent and they bring their stuff in?
They do. They have a tent. We, you know, we help them out. It's we have a lot of restaurants actually that started out as pop-ups. You know, they come down, they want to find out if, you know, what's taste all about? Can we actually do this? And they have a great time and end up 5 days.
There's thousands of people. You're going to sell tons of food. Everybody wants to sample your food. Absolutely.
No, but so is everybody, you have the food truck area, correct? And then you have the tents, or is everyone in a tent?
We actually have, the food trucks are in a couple of areas down at Taste. You can find the map and where all the food booths are if you go to tasteofchicago.us. But yes, most of the restaurants or all the vendors are in tents along Columbus and Jackson.
When people come from out of town, what's the biggest seller? They want to try pizza, probably.
Well,
Chicago,
you know,
pizza?
I think people come down and they, you know, they see the pizza, they get the hot dogs, they get the cheesecake, but then they find out like, oh, well, we have lobster, we have, you know, Thai, we have some of the best Mexican street food in Chicago anywhere.
Right.
You know, Filipino food, you know, there's just an endless array of menu items. We have over 300 menu items this year. So,
and which is why it's important that there are taste sizes so that you can try all 300 or maybe 50.
Yes, I always recommend everyone, you know, to try the taste items. You know, they're less tickets, and also you can try more, and there's so much out there.
Right. Jay, were you down there the last 2 years?
Yeah. And okay. I find my guilty pleasure every year when I'm down there of a different restaurant from a part of the city I may not have, you know, known was there.
Yeah.
And I find myself going, you know, sometimes driving 20, 30 minutes on any given day to go have something I had at the Taste.
That's great.
Like, I'd never had the Rico Benny's sandwich before until Taste a few years ago. Now I sometimes drive 20 minutes to go find one.
Where can people find you on social media?
We're at DeLobster Chicago on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And you tweet out every morning where you're going to be with the food trucks?
Yes.
Okay. Jason here from DeLobster. And, of course, you're at Clark and Hubbard and Mary May here from Taste of Chicago. I'm going to take a quick break. And can we talk entertainment when I come back?
Sure, absolutely.
About what's going to happen at Taste of Chicago at 720 WGN. Happy 4th of July, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in studio with us is Jay from DA Lobster. I just want to make sure that people get that right. DA Lobster.
Lobster.
Yes.
LOBSTA.
LOBSTA and Mary May, the spokesperson for Taste of Chicago and a few other titles. Mary, it's like, what's your title? Because if you get an email from Mary, there's like seven different titles.
Well, today it's just we pick one.
Yeah. Before I ask you about entertainment, Mary, I want to ask Che, because you spent time in L.A., you grew up on the East Coast. How do you compare Chicago to other cities when it comes to food?
I mean, I think it's world class. I love all the different types of cuisines in the city, and I don't know. I think there's a humbleness to the cuisine that's here. There's not as much pretension behind it. I mean, it's good, but we know it's good. And I mean, some of the world-class chefs here are just amazing.
Right. I mean, you see these chefs that win these shows and they open restaurants here, and they're all so gracious, it seems like. I mean, yeah. Jane and I know Graham Elliott very well, and he's the most humble person chef I've ever met.
Yeah, and Sarah Grunenberg. And I mean, so many folks that are on a, you know, have bigger platforms, but even those other chefs that we have here and the other restaurants that are getting Michelin stars and they're being rated and they're nationally known, I just really think that Chicago has just come up the food chain, really, and it is a destination for eating.
Well, I mean, there's no better evidence of that we are now the home of the James Beard Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're right. That's a great point.
The whole community really, I think, recognizes that Chicago is now, you know, quite the center for food.
Good for us.
Yes.
And Mary May,
Chicago.
Taste of Chicago. What entertainment do we have this year?
Oh, well, at the Petrillo Music Shell, first of all, Taste of Chicago is free admission. So you don't have to pay anything
to get
in.
Say that again. It's free.
Free.
Yes.
So you don't have to pay to get in. And we've got some great national performers coming at the at the Petrillo Music Shell. First day is Brandi Carlile. Then we have Juanes. He is a Colombian rock star. He's wonderful. Black Star on Friday. Saturday night, The Flaming Lips. And then we're going to put some funk in it. And on Sunday, we've got George Clinton. It's going to be awesome.
You literally have something for everyone.
Yes, yes. And at the Petrillo Music Show, we kind of make it easy for everyone. The seating area, we do charge, but it's very, very inexpensive is $18 if you want to sit down and have a seat, or the lawn is free.
Right.
And then we
just watch it on the lawn.
Yeah. And then we have the Goose Island stage that's also on Columbus, and it's all free, and it's all Chicago artists.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And we have a lot of Chicago artists on the main stage, too. The Boy Illinois.
Right.
BJ, the Chicago Kid. So it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. How many years for Taste of Chicago?
38.
Yeah, I think I've been to all 38 of them, and I'm only 29. I mean, it's crazy.
Now, Taste started on Michigan Avenue, right?
Yes.
Wasn't it Arnie Morton who started this?
Yes, in 1980. Actually, it started right outside the Tribune Tower.
Yeah. They wanted to do a little something, and Arnie Morton put it together for Morton Steakhouse.
Yeah, and then they decided to let's move it to Grant Park because it was just so popular.
It's just so fun, and it's a destination for sure, and a lot of vacations get planned around, hey, let's stop into the Taste. People coming in from the suburbs, public transportation, probably the best.
The public transportation is the best way to get down there. You can also ride a divvy bike. You can walk. You're going to be walking around Taste, too. So, but it's, you know, we always recommend public transportation.
Yeah, I mean, I've been stuck let's go back probably 30 years ago. I can remember being stuck inside the parking lot the car with my parents going, when are we getting out of the parking lot?
But do you help people with parking if they're going to drive down on the website?
Yes, there's transportation, parking information on the website.
Right. And Taste is fun.
Oh, it is.
It's a great time. Yeah.
Yeah, and we also have a chef demonstration area, the Lifeway Foods Taste Kitchen, so you can come down and see some of our, you know, top chefs. Joe Flam, who won the top chef. The
I love
top.
Joe Flam.
Yes, he's going to be down there. So yeah, and it's just going to be lots of fun.
That's fantastic.
Jay, you're going to be sweating.
Yes.
Hustling around.
If it's 90 in the truck, it's probably about, or outside, it's about 110 in that truck.
Do you have a fan in there? What do you do?
We do. We have a fan. We have a lot of dry ice. That's actually one of our big secrets of keeping everything very cool.
Okay. And how would you describe the lobster sandwich for people that are listening right now? How would you say it? If they're thinking about coming to Taste and you want them to come see you.
It's the American dream on a bun. No, I mean it's butter, lobster, mayo on a nice buttery bun. I mean, you can't really
go
wrong
there.
What's
not to love about that?
And if you like lobster, it's the way to go.
Yes. Yeah.
So. And the lobster mac and cheese is the, if there was like American Dream 1, this is American Dream 2. It's mac and cheese.
You just scarfed it down during commercials.
I sure did, with some lobster in it, and I love the little bit of spice that's in there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jay, continued success, man. Good for
you. Thank
you.
And we did just open a new location in Lakeview. We're at Diversity and Pine Grove, so come see us there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's okay. Great. Closer to my house. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Got a nice patio, BYOB.
I don't mean to make it about me, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So come see us.
And Mary May, you're the best.
Well, thank you for having us. And we'll see you at Taste, right?
Yes, absolutely. Go to tasteofchicago.us. Thanks for coming in.
All thank 5 you. Days will be there.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Jane, we're not the only one working today.
A lot of people working.
We'd like to bring in the superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. It's Eddie Johnson. Thank you for coming on, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me today.
I want to ask you about the two police-involved shootings the last 2 days. I know you've been very vocal. I've seen your press conferences, but I'm going to give you a chance to talk about it. Last night, police shooting on Fulton, and then Monday night, they had the underage boy in the South Shore neighborhood that pulled a gun on a police officer in a squad car.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, that just goes to highlight how dangerous it can be out there, not just for police officers, but for the citizens. So, you know, a lot of the details of it I can't discuss because, of course, COPA does the independent review of it. But, you know, what I can say is that, you know, thank goodness none of the officers were injured. You know, anytime we have to be involved in a shooting, you know, it's disturbing for that officer as well. So, you know, we'll wait for COPA to do their independent review and we'll see how it falls out.
The 4th of July holiday last year, over 100 people were shot. Now, the 4th of July holiday, is it the day before and the day of the 4th? Is that how they figure out the holiday?
Yeah, usually we go the day before, so the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th.
Okay.
Generally what we consider that holiday.
Now, you put a safety plan into place this year. You have 1,500 more officers on the streets.
Correct. So those officers will be deployed all over the city. So you'll see them on the lakefront, downtown area, as well as in the individual neighborhoods of the city, especially those places where historically we've seen issues during the 4th of July holiday.
So it's all hands on deck around the holidays because you want to keep this city safe. You want to tell people that are listening right now, that are coming downtown or in their communities, is there a message for them?
Yeah, you know, we want everybody to have an enjoyable 4th of July. I mean, everyone, citizens of this city as well as the visitors. But what I will say is this, you know, the people of Chicago and visitors coming into the city, I welcome all over the city, including the downtown area. But if you come in any area of the city and you act inappropriately, then you will be held accountable up to arrest and prosecution. So we want everybody to have fun. But we want you to know that we don't want you to affect other people's good times down there, too. And if you do that, you'll be held accountable.
Just be responsible, for God's sake.
That's it.
Especially now when everybody's radar is up over the holiday.
Yeah, and especially people coming in, don't be afraid. It's fine. It's safe. It's fun. Enjoy yourself. You know, you've got security. Superintendent, in the past, we've seen groups of kids causing trouble, whether it be at some of the celebrations or even on Michigan Avenue. Do you have something in plan to kind of curb that?
Yeah, so we've been working with some community organizations because, you know, we understand that it's just not about policing. It's about giving these young people something else to do also. So we have additional police officers down on the lakefront, down on Michigan Avenue, at the beaches, at the harbors. in the event that young people do want to come down there and cause chaos, because we just can't have that, you know. And I don't know if they get bored or what the issue is, but I know that we just can't tolerate that. So we have a plan in place. And as I said, we're working with some community groups to give these individuals more things to do.
We're talking with Police Chief Eddie Johnson now. The protest on the Dan Ryan. I mean, with, you know, the holiday right now, now you have a protest that looks like it's going to happen on the Dan Ryan, led by Father Flager, is scheduled for Saturday. Now, I know it's a highway and the state police are involved. How are you involved in this? And I'm sure you've talked to Father Flager and said, hey, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I have, you know, and obviously the state police are the lead agency because that is an expressway. Mm-hmm. You know, so what I'll say is this. I've been knowing Father Flager since I was a beat cop, you know, and then I worked intimately with him, you know, as a district commander over in the 6th District. So, you know, I really support his efforts in bringing attention to gun violence in this city, because we do have to recognize there's an issue, not just in Chicago, but all over this country, in passing common sense gun legislation. But what I will also say is that for me, being the head of Chicago Police Department, you know, our mission is to keep people safe. So I think that in the end, we'll come up with a solution so that they can have a peaceful protest. Because, listen, I cannot see Chicago police officers arresting a priest and mothers for purpose over pain that have lost children due to gun violence, and 15 and 16-year-olds, you know, that's just not the message we want to send. So I think that we should just continue the dialogue and try to come up with a solution, you know, so that we can let them demonstrate their First Amendment rights, as well as keeping everybody in the city safe.
Leo Schmitz, the director of the Illinois State Police, had a press conference yesterday, and he said the exact same thing. Listen, we don't want to arrest people, but if you're marching on the Dan Ryan, it becomes a safety issue, and we're going to have to remove people.
Yeah, we have an obligation to assist the protesters, but also to keep the city safe. So the Dan Ryan would not obviously be my first choice to demonstrate, because
right.
It's just dangerous.
Right.
It's dangerous. You know, it is dangerous. So, you know, like I said, we'll keep the dialogue open and try to come up with a solution that's amenable to everybody.
And if the solution does involve that there will be a shutdown of the Dan Ryan, you know, you'll have to let the community know, and you'll have to let it out so that people coming into our city, you're going to be detoured. You know, the road will be closed, and you'll have to get off. So you're going to have to let people know in that route, or, you know, if that's the decision that y'all make.
Yeah. You know, myself and the director have been talking. So if that in fact occurs, we have a plan in place to let people know exactly what's going on, because it's not just about the protesters.
Right.
It's about the people that use that expressway to get to and from.
Right.
Yep.
Well, Superintendent, we all want the same thing. We want to curb gun violence, and we want sensible gun laws. I mean, in marching on the Dan Ryan, I don't know if that's going to change that. I know it's going to draw attention for one day, but we need sensible gun laws in place. And I know you were backing the gun law that was vetoed by the governor. What's our next step on that?
So, you know what? We just have to keep being vocal about it. Because I tell you this, what frustrates me, excuse me, and I talk to police chiefs all over the country, and I got to be honest with you, if the shooting in Parkland, and then a few years ago, the shooting at the school out on the East Coast where those young children were killed, if that doesn't get us to move and do something about this, I just don't know what will, you know. And that's why, you know, Father Flager might be using an unconventional method, but at the same time, you know, I have to say, however we can get our legislators to move on this issue, I'm all for it, because something obviously has to be done. You know, you look at Chicago. Unfortunately, we sit in between Wisconsin and Indiana, who have very lax gun laws. And our problem here, listen, if I were to tell you in January that by July 1st in the city of Chicago, the Chicago police would have recovered 4,300 illegal weapons off the streets of Chicago, you'd be shocked at that.
Yeah.
That's just, it's absolutely absurd. So something we're not doing right, but I got to tell you, being a cop for 30 years, I know that there's a solution to curbing these illegal guns. We just have to have the political will to do it, you know. So I encourage, you know, everyone to demonstrate that they don't like what's going on. You know, it's a small majority of people that are driving this violence, and we need to hold them accountable.
Right, and we have to keep the dialogue going, and that's why we have people like you on this radio station to get the word out. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I appreciate it.
And, Superintendent, how is your health? I love asking you about that because, of course, you had some health issues in the past. And I want you to know, I am so glad that you and Jane finally talked, because Jane hosts a show on Sundays at 11:30 on WGN-TV called Living Healthy Chicago. And you've been living healthy for how long?
I have. So I tell you this, one of the reasons that I was able to baby those kidneys alone for 30 years was because I was doing what the doctor told me to do.
Yep.
You know, but certainly in the last couple of years when the kidney function really started to decline, I really ramped it up and got back in the gym, you know, on a regular basis and really eating really healthy. So, you know, my kidney, I had a checkup a couple of weeks ago, and the surgeon that performed the surgery, he told me when he got my numbers back, he was laughing about it. He said, "Man, your kidney functions are better than mine right now." Yeah.
What a great story. Yeah.
How much weight did you lose? How much weight did you lose before you got the kidney?
Before I got the kidney, they asked me to lose at least 20 pounds, and I lost 50.
He lost 50 pounds.
Yep. And yeah. I tell you, I did that in about 3 months. And it wasn't a diet. It was just eating healthy and doing about 40 to 50 minutes of cardio a day in the gym.
So you're moving, you're eating right. Are you sleeping?
Oh, yeah, sleeping great now. You know, it's amazing how all that is affected when you start having internal issues like that. But now, sleeping really well. So everything is going really well right now. So I've really been blessed.
Well, Eddie, I would hate to be you, because people always want to just tell you about their problems, or they want to complain to you. And thank God that you have this outlet now where you're exercising to kind of take your mind off things.
Yeah, and I tell you, people ask me what keeps me going, you know, being a cop for 30 years, especially in the position I am in now. And you just hit it on the head. People tell me their problems, and that comes with the territory, but what really, really keeps me going is when we're able to put a smile on somebody's face because we gave them some sort of hope or resolution to the issue that they're having. So that keeps me going.
Right.
Yeah, and the fact that you're staying healthy will lower your stress and will help you do a better job and then lead our police officers, which then in turn helps all of us. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
What a great story.
Okay,
can we feature you on Living Healthy Chicago?
You most certainly can. I'd be happy to do it.
That would be fabulous.
I knew if I brought you two together, Eddie would become a star.
He is a star. I'm the one that's trying to be a star.
And are you?
I don't know about that, but I'd be happy to do it.
Are you celebrating the 4th? Are you going to have time? Or are you working all day?
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to be out there most of the day because I tell you, I really love this city and I love this department. So, you know, I won't be superintendent for a long time, but the short window of time that I'm here, I want to give it my best and do everything I can to keep this city safe.
I know you're looking to try to curb the violence today and keep everybody safe, but what about fireworks? I mean, we keep telling people you need to be safe with fireworks, especially if you haven't handled them in a few years, because they've changed, and it's like holding explosives.
It is, you know, and what I would tell people is avoid fireworks and alcohol, and of course, avoid fireworks and small children trying to light them, because we have seen just too many accidents as a result of that. You know, fireworks are still illegal in Chicago, just so people know that, you know, but of course, we don't have enough police officers to control the whole thing.
Thank you for reminding everybody, because they're being blown off everywhere.
Yes.
I know, but yeah, they are still illegal in the city of Chicago, you know, but if people just have to engage in that activity, which I discourage, I would say just be mindful, because alcohol and fireworks just don't mix.
Right. And just for the record, you heard it from our police chief. Fireworks are illegal in Chicago. Yes.
But they're still illegal in Chicago.
Yes, they're still illegal.
Never changed, everybody.
Actually, in the entire state of Illinois, they're illegal.
Exactly right. Yep, it is.
Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Thank you, Eddie. It's great to talk to you again. Happy 4th.
You all too. And please get some barbecue for, on me, okay?
All right, you, we you will. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, take care.
All right. It's 720 WGN. Tonight, watch Navy Pier's Independence Day display live as fireworks light up Chicago's lakefront. Chicago's Summer Blast, a WGN TV special tonight at 9:30, hosted by Dean Richards. Dean is the guy now that he's the go-to guy on WGN. Does the holiday special with Bozo. He does Family Classics now. He has turned into that guy. He's like the uncle that everybody wants to hang out with.
There you go. There's Uncle Dean. You know what? I ran into him in the lobby before we got on the air.
I'm so upset. I sent him a text. I go, where are you? He's like, I left.
Oh.
Like, Dean, I never see you.
It was great to see him, and he said he was hosting this tonight, and he was here doing a promo, and I said, do you sleep? Because I said, you're the go-to guy.
He
said, sleep's underrated. I'm good.
It really is.
Yeah.
Especially when you're used to working multiple jobs.
And he's having fun.
TV, radio. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's
fun. This isn't really a job.
No, it's really fun.
We just had Eddie Johnson on. And talk about a guy that you want to talk about stress.
Jeez. Well, that's what you brought up a really great point, Pete. Ooh. And you said people come to you with their problems, and you probably take all those on. You want to make everybody happy. Really, he's under a lot of stress trying to keep the city safe.
Right.
And that stress will then take a toll on your body.
Right.
So if he already had kidney trouble and he's been doing this for 30 years and it's a high stress job. So good for him for being able to live a healthy life, to get sleep, to work out, to eat right, to stay healthy, because he's got a lot of responsibility to make sure we're okay.
When you exercise, you get a feeling for your body, and you can always tell when you're gaining weight or you're drinking too much beer, you're not sleeping right at night because your body reacts. And I've been that way. I don't mean to bring it back to me, but I've been that way the last 2 weeks because I went on vacation. All I did was drink beer for 5 days, and I haven't been sleeping well. And he started talking about it, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I got to get back in the gym.
Well, the gym.
I gotta get going.
But aside from the fact that you're helping yourself out, I feel like the endorphins that you get after a great workout.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself will brighten your day and make everything better because that rush of endorphins. Now, listen, I talk to a lot of people. They're like, yeah, I don't get those rush of endorphins. I'm just starting to work out. I'm not sure what you're talking about. If you're just starting off, you're kind of conditioning your body to get into the swing of things in the gym and doing all the cardio, doing the exercise or lifting the weight. So the endorphins will come. It will be you'll be addicted to working out because you'll be addicted to endorphins, which is a great thing.
You've hosted Living Healthy Chicago forever. Okay.
I've been the host of Living Healthy Chicago for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, on a day like today where people are going to indulge, it's everything in moderation.
We say that at every shoot. We talk to a lot of doctors.
Moderation.
We talk to a
like
lot
of
fitness people.
Like we had all this food
people.
In studio from Taste of Chicago.
Yes.
Just have one sandwich. You don't have to have six.
You don't have to eat the whole plate. And that's just it. We say it at every shoot, whether we're talking to a doctor, a nurse, a nutritionist, a fitness, trainer. Everybody says moderation. The trainers are, yes, unless they're going to a big competition, they're going to have a hot dog. They're going to have a beer,
right?
But in moderation.
Well, when you go to a barbecue today, you're going to have a hamburger or a hot dog. Don't feel bad about yourself.
No, you just do it. Yeah.
What about beers? How many beers can I have?
But Pete likes to hang out with my brother, George, when he's in town.
Uh-huh.
And my brother said to me, wow, Pete really likes beer.
That is not true. So,
well, he did say that.
We went to a Cub game, and we're in the sun, and George and I are drinking and having a good time.
But my brother can have a beer, but he said, Pete really likes beer. So how many beers can you drink?
As many as they keep bringing.
Beer fills me up so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only drink one, and I'm just
feel
so sluggish.
That's why you're going to drink the cider, Mary.
That cider is fantastic. It's like rosé wine. It's
Mary, as a guy, you come from a large family. Mm-hmm. I have 7 brothers, so when I have a friend that comes to town, like your brother George, who I haven't seen forever.
I know. He should
I get excited.
Here. I know.
I'm like, George, you got to come to my house. We're going to have a beer here, and then we're going to stop at this bar, and then we're going to go to Wrigleyville, and then we're going to go in the game. That's how it works.
Right?
Yeah.
And beer after beer at every single place.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen you drink beer till your eyes get glazed over.
It's more of a social thing. Mike, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, Pete. It's awesome to hear you, man. I wish we could hear more of you all the time. You're a huge fan of your work.
Thank you.
And also, as well, you both of you, when you guys come on, it's pretty awesome. Jane, it sounds like you have some insight on health issues and things of that nature. And I wanted to ask, and thank you for taking my call. I lost a daughter about a month ago, and for 2 years, I was in a hospital every day, every night. Long story short, she was caused an issue, and I'm feeling things, effects of health now that I've never felt in my life. And right now, when you guys had the police attendant on, I've been reading about kidney failure and issues, and I've been under a lot of stress day and night. What happened to my daughter should have never happened, and it was caused to her. It was a health issue that was caused to her, and she was pretty much in a vegetative state for 2 years.
Oh,
she couldn't walk. She couldn't. At the end, she couldn't speak. She couldn't do anything. She had a feeding tube in her, and she passed away. And, and day and night, I've been struggling with. I was internalizing a lot of the things that were going on, but I think I internalized it so bad that now I'm having issues when I eat, where I just absorption. My food isn't going. I'm just feeling things that I've never felt.
Well, of course,
ever,
Mike,
ever
you just went
life.
Through a huge tragedy, and first of all, we are so sorry for your loss. But you have to make sure that you take care of your body.
Yeah.
Mike, first things first, have you been to your doctor?
No. Okay. I really, you know, prior, I've never really, I've gone to that. I've never really been sick. I've always worked out. I've always been pretty healthy.
I know. You got to you got to go in for checkups. Well, you got to do it, Mike.
The first thing you got to do, I mean, besides getting good sleep and lowering stress and meditating and working out and eating right, if you personally know your health is declining and you know something is wrong, go to your doctor. Go see a doctor and say, hey, this is what's going on. I notice my kidney function is low, or I notice, you know, whatever. Give them the symptoms. Even if you feel like it's not a big deal, it's better to give them the symptoms and find out what's going on.
And it's good to take blood work on a regular basis. Yeah. I don't know what it is with guys. They don't want to go see the doctor. You need to go to the doctor.
Yeah, well,
that's
you got to get
start.
A checkup once a year. But, Mike, certainly in your case, if
God
you're not
bless you,
feeling
buddy.
Well,
thank you, Mike.
Go see a doctor and make sure that everything's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
How often do you go in for a physical once a year?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Okay. In fact, I've been battling an earache lately, which is so weird. Like, how do
an
I get
earache?
I have an earache for like 6 months. And so I was taking...
6 months? And you're telling Mike to go to the doctor?
So listen, I did go to the doctor and then it came back. And so I was been on the phone with an ENT and a doctor or whatever. And I said to the nurse, I said, well, I feel kind of silly coming in because look at me. I feel great, except my ear hurts. And the point is I'm talking fine. I look fine. I'm functioning. I go to work. You know, it's not stopping me, but it's not right.
Right.
So if something is not right, your body's telling you, you need to go just to make sure that there's nothing else they can do. Like certainly antibiotics would probably be the course of action.
A doctor told me years ago, listen to your body. Just listen to your
body. That's what Barbara Munzer has told you.
Did she?
She says
maybe it was Barbara. I'll give Barbara credit for that.
Body wants to heal.
Yeah, listen to your body. Yeah. If your body aches, something's wrong. If you got an earache, you got to go see a doctor.
Well, and I'm saying don't run to the doctor for every tiny little thing. But if it's something that, like in Mike's situation, like, it's, you know, you notice your kidneys or something's wrong, or if I have an earache, like, yeah, at this point, maybe.
Well, information is power.
Yeah.
Information is power. Okay?
Certainly, and with your health, too.
Yes. And cancer runs rampant in my family, and high cholesterol and high blood pressure. So I'm constantly getting blood work done twice a year. I go get a physical once a year.
Yeah.
It's coming up in September.
Can I take you to the doctor?
I think
bottom line, everything in moderation today. I think you eat right. I think you exercise or
have a few beers.
Move.
Yep.
And I think that you get some good sleep.
By the way, I'm so glad you didn't call me last night. I know you were out with your boyfriend, Kurt, and you were going to call me and we were going to meet later. And yep. I didn't want to go out after 8 o'clock.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We left at 9:30. We were at a barbecue.
Now I feel bad. I would have met you out at 9:30.
Really? You would have had a lot of beer, and then you would have been hungover today. I did bring your name up, and they were like, what's he doing?
I love when people go, I kind of feel sorry for Pete. What's he doing? No, we don't want him over here.
I said he needs some alone time
His wife and son are out of town. Let him just be. He's sitting in a refrigerator of his house. He turned his air conditioner down to 60. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line. Yes, I'm getting your text messages. Thank you so much, and happy 4th of July to you. Happy 4th of July. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 303 Wacker, 18th floor. Beautiful views, sunny skies today, and it's going to be hot. It's going to be a hot one for the 4th of July. Any holiday traditions that you guys do on the 4th? I have one that my mother... it's not a tradition, but she makes a food every single year, and I miss it. I think of it on the 4th.
What does she make?
It's called pineapple upside down cake.
Oh, that was my dad's favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my mom used to make that, I think.
How come no one makes that cake anymore?
Well, your mom does.
No, yeah, yeah, she'll probably make it today.
I'll make you a pineapple upside down cake.
Love
I'll make it for your birthday.
What is the cake? Because we always wanted to get to the pineapples, and she'd put a cherry in between the middle of the pineapple.
Yeah, I think it's a white cake, Mary. You know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm not real thrilled with it. I don't know.
What? I do not like pineapple upside down cake.
I love pineapples, but I don't like it in a cake.
I just
don't
love
like pineapple
it.
In a cake. I don't like fruit in a cake.
It's not in the cake. It's on the bottom of the cake, and then you pop it upside down. Then it's on the top of the cake.
But it's a sponge cake.
Yeah, it's kind of. What's a white cake? And then because you pop it upside down, all that like sugary juice from the...
I don't know. I'm not real thrilled with that. I think that's why my mom stopped making it, because nobody ate it.
It's a buttery, rich, and caramely with the pineapples on top.
I don't remember caramely.
My mother used to make pineapple upside down cake and oatmeal cake. Have you ever had oatmeal cake?
I've never had oatmeal cake.
Why did you make that face like you were going to puke?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if Betty Ann made it, it's delicious.
The
but I've never heard of an oatmeal
is,
cake.
First of all, it has coconut in it, and coconut is very underrated. I know people love or hate coconut.
Right? I love it.
There's a lot of haters out there. Mm-hmm. But it has walnuts and coconut, and it's just, that was...
And
it's wonderful.
So I'm
oatmeal.
I'm picturing like loose oatmeal, like as if you would be eating an oatmeal, but it's
the oatmeal is mixed into the cake.
Exactly.
And the frosting is the nuts and some type of juice and coconut.
So this is what I can liken to it. A fitness instructor one time told me if you want to eat healthy but you don't want to have all those carbs, do egg whites, which are the eggs, which would be in a cake, and then you put oatmeal in it, the dry oatmeal inside the egg whites, and then put a little cinnamon in that, and then I put syrup on top, and that kind of reminds me of your oatmeal cake because you're getting
it's
sort
some
of that
type
sweet
of syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a coffee cake more that you'd have, you know, for
a
breakfast.
A little bit, but it's a little lighter, but
with
it's got the oatmeal
and
in
syrup and all that cinnamon.
That sounds good. Is she sending one up from Peoria?
No. Not happening.
Okay.
Wow.
A butter cake is what it's a butter cake is what the cake is on the pineapple.
Oh,
we just lost Pete.
What is it with people with oatmeal and coconut? Either they love it or they hate it.
The other thing that people don't like is cilantro. Either they love it or they hate it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I don't understand. I think people just taste buds are different and they taste something different than you taste. Right? I really like cilantro. People say it tastes like metal. I really like coconut. People say it tastes like
dirt. Kale? People love kale or they hate kale?
I love kale.
Kale tastes bitter to me.
You can't boil it, Pete.
I don't understand the boiling thing. When you boil anything, it takes the flavor out of it. So look, why are you eating kale? For your digestive tract?
You're boiling it for like 1 minute so it wilts.
You guys should have been here the day I made Dave Ennett a kale cake
he
for his birthday.
He loves kale.
Well, yeah, that kale cake did not go over very well, believe me.
I think Dave
and I
kale
were
cake?
Oh, it was a pain in the neck. I will never do it again. I mean, you had to just, you know, get the kale, and I forgot what I had to do to it, just... You know, squeeze it all out and get the juice. It was just
Did it taste like kale?
What kind of flavor is it?
Yeah, but there was something else. I can't remember how I made it exactly, but I liked it. Dave liked it. I think we're the only two that ate it.
Dave will eat.
And Bennett Wake Night.
Anything healthy. Bennett will eat anything.
Yes.
Anything healthy, I feel like Dave's going to put in his body. But like this Taste of Chicago Food that is sitting in the studio right now, and it would never eat it. No way.
Never.
No.
He's super healthy.
He is.
He eats oatmeal every morning, speaking of oatmeal.
Yeah. Every morning.
Yes.
And yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And his body fat percentage is really low.
Well, he works out
every day,
too.
You can just tell. But by the way, I think with a kale cake, Mary, if you put a layer of frosting all over it, nobody's going to taste the kale, and it's going to be awesome.
That's what I did. Cream cheese frosting,
yeah,
I believe, is
go.
What I used.
No, it's delicious.
Of course. People are going to love that. Tina, you're on WGN. Hi. Tina, you with me? Okay.
Nope.
All right. She had the oatmeal cake recipe. You want to check Tina, see if she's there?
Award-winning oatmeal cake.
Award-winning oatmeal cake. We've had some kinks, especially me, the last 3 days. I've had some problems
in the
here
new studio.
In the
how
studio.
Many, now, how long has it been in the studio? 2 weeks?
2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Sure. No 4th of July traditions?
No. Not really. I think we barbecue out, see friends, hang out. You know what, my 4th of July tradition is to wear these American flag shoes. Because if you have American flag shoes, you can only wear them on the 4th of July.
That's it.
And if you're at a barbecue.
Or Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Yeah, but sure. They're more fun for the 4th of July.
Right.
So that's my tradition for my own personal self that nobody knows about and nobody cares.
I was talking to John Williams yesterday. I go, John, you worked the 4th of July last year. He goes, yeah, I think so. I go, I do remember because I remember your shoes.
Yeah, he had American flag shoes.
He did. He had the Converse. Chuck Taylor American flag shoes. And he was surprised that I remembered that. I go, well, I'm working on the 4th and I remember that. Yeah. Mary, do you have any 4th of July traditions? Do you do anything with the family?
Well, we have a new one that we've done for like the past 4 years. My son is a band director in Antioch, so he has to march in the parade every year. So we go to Antioch, actually. And this is the first year I haven't gone because I'm here. And we watch the parade and then we go to my daughter's house for a barbecue. So it's kind of fun because the other family, her, you know, his parents are there and their kids and stuff. So
that is a big tradition for a lot of people. They go watch a parade.
Yeah, I love a parade.
And that's one of the traditions.
Used to be able to have water and hoses in the parades. You can't do that anymore, though. So the 4th of July parades are just not as exciting.
I mean, why is that?
I don't know. Villa Park, our town, used to have water, and it was great. You could squirt everybody, and everybody was hot.
Wait, you live in Villa Park? I thought you lived north.
I live in Villa Park. My daughter lives in Antioch.
Brother Ed lives in Villa Park. I'm there all the time.
Oh, you got to hook him up.
Really?
Yeah.
They can go over and have barbecues.
We'll go have beers.
Hang on 38.
Do you guys remember the parades? And Mary, do they still do this? You sit on the side and they throw like bazooka gum out at everybody?
Yeah, they still do candy. Not as much anymore, candy. I don't know why. But yeah, and the kids go run in the street and almost get hit.
That's
by
why. Because that's always kids fun. Run in the street.
Yeah, but that's the fun part of a parade. You're trying to catch the candy.
Exactly. I know, but you got to watch now.
It's fun.
Yeah, they don't want to do that. All right, Tina called back. Tina, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Hey, hi. Happy birthday, America.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thanks. My mom, Lorraine, made the oatmeal cake, and it is delicious. You are so right. And the topping, and I make it now. She passed away. And it's coconut, brown sugar.
Yeah, brown
and
sugar.
Butter.
Yes.
And what was
butter.
The last one?
You have to use butter.
Butter.
Lots of butter. No wonder I loved it. Every year on my birthday, you get to pick out your cake. I wanted the oatmeal cake from my mother.
Oh, me too. And with coffee in the morning, oh my gosh, it is the best.
That's
it
what you do
so
with the
light.
Leftover cake.
Yes, it is delicious. And she used to make pineapple upside down cake too. And I love that. Got it with like Cool Whip or Ready Whip on top of it, too.
Mmm, yes.
I need to Google that. Let's make some pineapple upside down cake. I'm sure
so
it's
hard.
Easy.
It's so hard to cut, though. You know, you got to use a serrated knife, like a small serrated knife, because the pineapple doesn't want to cut.
Yeah, you're right.
But once you
get through that first piece, you get through the first cut of the first piece of pineapple upside down cake, the rest of them are so easy to cut. Believe me.
No, the pineapple rings don't want to cut.
Well, you cut around it. Everyone gets a pineapple ring.
Well,
it doesn't work that way.
Safe. No, it doesn't. And nowadays, you get one less ring. You know, the can isn't 16 ounces anymore. It's only 15.
Oh, I didn't
really
know that.
You really got to space it out.
Who knew that? They cut out a ring to save money. Those damn
people.
Well,
yeah, your can of pineapple isn't like 16 ounces anymore. Could only be like 14. I don't know.
But it's also made of rubber.
I had no idea. What about the people that, instead of doing the pineapple rings, that did the crushed pineapple on top? I didn't think it tastes the same.
No. And the presentation isn't there either.
Exactly. Presentation
is the key.
You got to
have the ring, and you got to put the cherries in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Yep, that's how
Tina's
it works.
Right.
Tina, you're the best. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God, I want some pineapple upside down cake and some oatmeal cake.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. You can use a serrated knife.
You get right through that.
312-981-7200 at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We talked about this earlier, but the 4th of July, it reminds us how great the United States of America is. It really does. Yeah.
We should always remember how great our country is. But today is that day that we celebrate and we can raise our flags proud like we do all the time, but really celebrate. One of the things I love about the United States, you know, I did some work in London, so I was flying back and forth, and going out of the country is great. But
I did some work in London. Can we just stop for a second?
No.
I did some work in London.
I used to work in London.
I did some work in Rockford, okay?
But listen, it's fun to go out of the country. Yes, and we get into other cultures. But one of my favorite things about the United States, you could go from here, you can go all the way to the coast in California and see the sea, what are the sea whales? Well, I can't remember what they're called right now. But they're laying on the side. I mean, just the imagery and the mountains and like the Grand Canyon and the animals. And it's different everywhere we go. And sometimes I think this is my country and this is what I can see. And I can visit and be a tourist and be floored every time.
I agree. I'm with you.
I get so excited.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the name of the... They're not the sea whales.
I went to Ireland
Elephant seals. Thank you.
I went to Ireland last year with Steve Bertrand Travel, and this year they're doing the trip again with Dave Holkstra, and you can go to stevebertrandtravel.com to get tickets. Wonderful trip. We saw Van Morrison last year, but one of the things, when you go to Ireland, the Irish people embrace the people from the United States, and they talk about how great our country is, and it's like, oh my God, you're right. We are good people. And this is a great country. Sometimes you forget and you watch the news and people are arguing and the Democrats and the Republicans and you hear about the violence. But still, when it comes down to it, it's great.
And you got to be grateful for what you have. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
Gratefulness.
Yeah. I like to cross the country and see all the sides still. And the people.
Are you traveling anytime soon?
So Monday, I'm going to Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Where is that?
Isn't that great? I'm going to Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. It's between Milwaukee and Madison. It's about 2 hours from here. I can't decide if I'm going to drive up Sunday or just make the trip Monday morning. I have a shoot all day. So if I drive, sit in the car, do a full day shoot, drive home, it'll be fun. It's an adventure and it's so fun and I love to meet the people. Last week on Friday, I was in Columbus, Georgia.
I follow you on Instagram, and I didn't even know you were out of town. And I'm like, there's Jane working in Georgia. I don't understand who's hiring her, but okay.
Well, you know, I'm doing I'll tell you what I'm doing. It's a 6-part web series for a company, and it's called We Make for Good. So I'm featuring 6 individuals that are, they make things, like whether it's blankets for oncology patients, or it's stuffed animals for mastectomy patients, or it's comfort kits for children going to foster home. There's groups, and there's just individuals that make things. Their time and talents, they're making things, and they're donating it to people that need help, or they need someone to say, I love you. What I love most about this series that I'm doing, I feel so lucky because I'm meeting people doing really good things. And you just talked about sometimes you're really bad news. Just we hear on TV. I'm doing good stories, like feel good stories. I went to Logan, Utah in the middle of June.
Nobody goes to Utah.
Logan, Utah. So it's 2.5 hours, or it's an hour and a half outside of Salt Lake City, but there's a group there donating to foster kids. So I'm doing a quick little series that you can see online, and it's just highlighting really good people.
We forget, and we have kids, and you know, you have a husband and wife that both work. You know, we forget, and we need to be reminded, and that's why the 4th of July, coming back to the patriotic thing, that's why it's a great day to remember. Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah, and celebrate.
Celebrate with the barbecue later today. I need to buy some meat.
Are you barbecuing?
Yes, I am.
So where are you going to get the meat?
I don't know yet. I got to figure that out.
I would say go to Costco.
They're not open today, Jay.
They're not?
They're not.
Oh. No. Mariano's.
Yeah.
Somewhere. They'll be open.
I'll do something. My wife and son are still going until 5 o'clock, which is nice.
So you're going to barbecue when they get home?
Yeah.
Day's over.
No,
you watch fireworks somewhere?
Great question.
Like, can you go on your back patio and look out and see fireworks from the distance?
We were actually thinking about coming here because when you're in the green room on the other side of the floor here, you can see Navy Pier.
Oh, that's great. Are people doing that tonight?
I don't know if a lot of people know about it.
Obviously, people will be watching the fireworks at Navy Pier, but are people coming that work here at WGN?
Well, I'm going to come here for sure during the Air and Water Show. Tonight's a maybe, but the Air and Water Show, absolutely.
But you're inside.
Yeah, but you got a bar and, you know, you got a kitchen and a bathroom.
And friends.
Right.
And an easy parking spot.
Have you seen the view from the other side of the floor here?
It's spectacular. Yeah, absolutely.
We're on the 18th floor here, right on Lake Michigan.
303.
Right. On the river in Lake Michigan.
I can see why you'd come here to watch the fireworks. Air and Water Show. You're inside.
You like to be outside in the hot sun where it's 95 degrees.
Well, I want to hear the planes go by and be a part of it. But the fireworks, I'm okay with being in.
No, see, I'm the complete opposite. I like to be outside for fireworks and inside for the air and water show.
So I'm going to be on a boat watching fireworks. And every time you're underneath the fireworks, I always feel like the fireworks are going to fall right on my face.
And light the boat on fire. Yeah. Yes. What is going on here? All right. Quick break. We'll talk to John Hansen. There's no business lunch today, right? Is he on from 12 to 1? I guess so. All right. We'll ask John coming up next. It's 720 WGN. All right. That does it for us. John Hansen is coming in. Are you doing a business lunch?
Yeah, we are. Because I know that they didn't do the opening bell this morning. And we're still doing the business lunch. There's business to be had.
What kind of business is that?
Oh, lots of business. Actually, I'm going to talk about, there's some fascinating stories about fireworks. Did you know? I'm going to tell you something you didn't, had no idea about fireworks in the entire country. 70% of the fireworks that are bought here in the United States are controlled by one businessman out of China. He has like this.
I knew it was from China.
Yes, and it's one guy. He controls. There was this terrible explosion about 15 years ago that limited where Chinese exporters were allowed, which ports they were allowed to ship out of because of new regulations in China. And one guy has capitalized it. He has a 70% market share. The Washington Post did a fascinating story about this, so we're going to chat about that. And I'm also curious because obviously everyone's going across to many different states to get our fireworks. Illinois has very strict firework laws,
right?
But injuries continue to go up and up. Are we missing out on tax revenue here in Illinois? It's not a giant piece of the pie, but are we missing out? People are going to use them anyways. They're getting hurt anyways.
Right.
Shouldn't they buy them here? Shouldn't we get some extra tax revenue? So that'll be...
It's interesting how Illinois has always been had illegal fireworks. I just don't understand why it's against the
because
law.
Because they know they're going to go get them from Indiana and Wisconsin and wherever else they can get them.
They're making the money.
It's a good point. Right. You're a good point.
Exactly. So we'll be chatting about that. Oh, and Terry Savage is going to come on and chat.
Good.
Yeah, she's not taking a holiday. She's going to come on, chat about some personal financing. There's actually a new company, a nonprofit, that is paying millennials $1,000 if they take a personal finance course. All they have to do is take a personal finance course.
Millennials have it too easy.
Why don't they have it for
soft
midlifers?
Right, exactly.
Midlifers.
Or late in lifers. Everyone should get $1,000.
Right.